This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I talk about some trips to the suburbs with visits to Sketchbook, Arrowhead, and then we dive into some of the beer news, including the Bud Light corn syrup ads that aired during the Super Bowl. All that and more on this week's episode.
These last 3 weeks of the week, what'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
We have survived the polar vortex.
We did it. You know, I almost froze to death the following day, man. Because I went, remember we were saying, like, I just want to live my life in negative 20 and see what it's about. Man, I walk out the house, dude, and I literally made it to the end of the block, and I was getting choked out. Like, your nose freezes immediately.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just had visions of me, like, laying on the ground in the snow and nobody hearing me.
Yeah, because any of those days you walked outside, you just started coughing because it's like, yeah. Oh, you can't breathe.
It's negative 20. I'm like, who lives here? I'm like, oh, yeah, we live here.
You're like, oh, okay, that's what it is. I felt it. I'm out.
I'm going back upstairs to drink all my stuff.
But now we're kind of wishing it was summer as we're drinking some wheat ale.
Yeah, so this is from Illuminated?
Illuminated Brew Works.
Illuminated Brew Works in Chicago, right?
It's being brewed at Great Central.
Okay.
But they're in St. Charles, right?
I don't know. What does this can say?
Brewed by Illuminated Brew Works in St. Charles, but under special agreement with...
No, man, they're on Sangamon.
Oh, that's not St. Charles.
God
that's
damn it, Brett.
That's the street. I thought this said St. Charles.
I'm like, is your cat different from mine?
Well, that's confusing.
No, they're Sangamon, that's near the Brewing District. So that's kind of like River. No, what do you call that? Fulton West? Wherever Goose in the Chicago Brewing District is, those guys, right, okay. Just west of West Loop. That's basically that area.
Oh, so they're there, but Great Central is brewing.
But Great Central's brewing them.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, we hung out with those guys. Where do we hang out with them? Oh, at the Electric Jungle, there was a record shop. And, there was like a beer competition, and Afro Beer Chick threw a bottle share. Oh, but they were there pouring some really cool stuff. That's the last time I had some Illuminated stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't really messed with their stuff, but I saw this can. It's super weird. There's a lot of Japanese on here. I should have pulled out the translator and seen what it said, but... There's like this girl eating a triangle Pop-Tart, and so before I picked it up, I was like, oh, it looks like maybe like a Pop-Tart stout kind of thing. I was like, that's cool, and I'm like, American wheat ale. This can is like really stupid for American wheat ale.
You see the pie, how it's got that eye on it too, that all-seeing eye?
Right.
Yeah, so it's called Fenord, which I'm not sure what that means, but Fenord is a word that was coined in 1965 by some Discordia. Oh, it appeared in something called the Illuminatus.
But why is all this Japanese writing for American wheat ale?
This is all very confusing, Brad. It's not for us to get, man. Maybe
they could have done like a Japanese wheat ale and put rice in it.
Yeah, and you know, this is a wheat ale, but like we were saying, it's kind of, you know, 7%, right? Little high for a wheat ale, and then it's kind of lighter in body, not as cloudy as you would expect a wheat ale to be. So it's kind of reminiscent of like a small Belgian triple,
right? Exactly.
More so than a wheat ale.
Like I would rather have my wheat ales closer to like a white, like an Allagash white kind of realm. Exactly. I want something a little creamier, a little like,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe full body versus sweet and strong, but it's. Yeah. It's good. It's just not what I maybe expected. Definitely not from the can, and not from the beer. But.
We're on a tear here with these cans, though. Every week we come in, we get some new bizarre can that Brad has found.
They're weird, man. You go to the store, you're like, I don't know what this is, but I will get it, and I will try it.
The Fenord from Illuminated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, but dude, one of the beers I had from them that I really dug was, man... Okay, so it was they used a Virtue cider barrel, right? Mm-hmm. And they put like a farmhouse ale in it. And Fuck, I'm drawing a blank, man. Oh, but they had Asian pears in it. It was called Paradiola. And it uses Amcor, which apparently is like a mango powder, a mango Indian like spice powder.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was very interesting.
Nice.
Really, it was memorable. It was nice. Yeah, they say they're looking at spaces in Norwood Park, those guys.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's far northwest side of town.
All right, awesome. So, yeah. I don't know. We'll keep sipping on this. Always enjoy trying some other breweries that we don't always get out to or get to taste. So it's nice. Can't be drinking Half Acre all the time.
Yeah. Or can we?
Okay, we can, but we gotta spread the love.
Yeah, that's true.
So speaking of spreading the love, you made it out to some brand new spots.
Man.
I don't think I'm on anyone's radar.
New to me, that's for sure. So this is down in New Lenox. This is deep south burbs. Like, I had never actually been to New Lenox. It's almost parallel with, like, Joliet.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
And that's kind of the edge of the earth, right? Joliet. Like, what's past Joliet?
You know? Yeah, you're basically going to Bloomington at that point.
Pretty much. You're going down there. So the first stop was Arrowhead Ales. Okay. A couple, three breweries, right? Arrowhead Ales, Hickory Creek, and Trails Edge, right? The first two were in New Lenox. The third one was in Frankfort, which is the town next to New Lenox, coming back to civilization. Yeah. Arrowhead was all about Devil's Day 2019. So apparently they have this this breakfast stout called the Devil's Breakfast. So they have this huge party. You pick up the bottles, and then you do like a little brunch situation. And it's basically a breakfast stout with this coffee roast, a Smuggler's Coffee, which is in Indiana that I had never heard of.
No.
Yeah, so this was an interesting play. Oh, you buy the, I guess we're in the age of Imperial Stouts in coffee mugs, right? Because this was a special, like, hey, you know, you spend $12, you fill the mug.
The cup,
you get the cup. You get the cup, and the cup's pretty awesome. I'm like, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so the Devil's Breakfast is a Imperial Oatmeal Stout with chocolate, vanilla, and Smuggler's Coffee. It's a sinful roast.
Hmm.
Yeah. So this is their Heritage Series. Now, I'm like, dude, you guys are having Devil's Day 2019. I've like never heard of this place at all.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But
no, I haven't been to Joliet in I don't even know how long. Yeah.
I saw a high school game down there when we were made like the state semifinals. That's the last time I've been to Joliet. Yeah. Oh, but dude, this place looks great, man. It's not your average. It's in a strip mall, but it's not your average, like, hey, we just got started. We used to homebrew setup. Like, this is, you know, a little, it's stylish. Like, there's some cash put into this place,
That's
man.
Awesome. Okay.
You know, chef-driven menu. Like, everything looked great.
Food was good, too.
Yeah, food was proper. Had I had a good time at Arrowhead Ales. So, yeah.
And then you went over to Trails.
Well, the second stop was Hickory Creek.
Okay.
Because Hickory Creek's on the same street. I'm like, yo, it's a mile and a half away. We got to go to this Hickory Creek place.
Right. When you're out that far, a mile and a half is, just hop over there.
Mm-hmm. One more note about Arrowhead Ales. I'm like, hey, you guys been around for like a year. Like, who's brewing? Like, where was he before this? Was he?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, well, you know, he used to be a teacher at the local school.
But
and he decided, like, hey, I just want to hop into brewing. I'm like, right on, man.
That's cool.
He was doing his thing. Like, drink their Imperial Style fresh. Don't sit on it, they say. Yeah, and it's solid, you know. So, some of the things they say is in there you taste it. Not all the things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was good. And the place looked great. Oh, so then we go to Hickory Creek, right? And we're like, man, how about Will County? They're doing things out here.
That's pretty awesome.
Then we get to Hickory Creek Brewing, the second stop. And it's kind of all military theme because the guy, it sounds like he was a what do you call the – whatever you call the branch that goes into submarines. He was a submarine vet, right?
Oh, that's not part of the Navy?
Is that the Navy? Yeah, I mean – oh, yeah. He's a veteran, right?
Right.
So we go in, and there happened to be, like, a World War II veterans meeting there, right? And everything there is decked out in, like, old military regalia, right? And, so – you know, we sit down and order a beer, and I'm like, give me the lightest beer you got, because I just been drinking stouts for 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah, and not my favorite, Brad. Not my favorite stout.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you have Arrowhead Ales down the street, so.
Arrowhead Ales was down the street.
So maybe, I never heard of either one of these, so. Yeah. How long has Hickory Road been around?
Not sure, man. This was we got in and out. All right, so
Hickory Creek.
Yeah, Hickory Creek. So, you know, we talk like we're going to Spiteful in a week, right?
Yeah.
And you know, we have this homebrew culture here where, you know, we take homebrew pretty seriously, right? You know, like I'm hanging out at a Fishman's Store in a festival. I'm hanging out with my buddy, you know, Chris Berdillis, who brews at Burn City now. Mm-hmm. He's like, man, come to my place. I got like a, you know, I got a gin-inspired cream ale on at home.
Yeah.
Right? You know, homebrewers are serious brewers in this town, right? So, you know, somebody says, hey, you know, this guy's a homebrewer and he just started doing his own thing. We're expecting, all right, cool, man. He's probably got some tricks up his sleeve. But then like these guys were not ready to serve any of this beer.
Oh,
like
okay.
It was all like there was a mead and you know there was everything across the board was just kind of thin and under attenuated and it's like
so you need to dial some of that in and
you know I'm like
focus.
If you want to just have a space where you can throw parties for vets, that's cool.
Yeah,
but come on, man, someone who like is just getting into beer in New Lenox and comes to this place and this is his first dance, you're gonna blow it for everybody who likes beer, man. Like, shame on you, man. You gotta talk to some folks before you just say, "Hey, we're open for business, and this is what we're serving, man." It's just not cool, man.
Yeah, and then you showed me this picture of this jersey with their Imperial Stout logo, Whack the Beaver.
Yeah,
that's a weird. There's a lot of weird stuff going on there that doesn't seem appropriate at the moment.
There's yeah, the Whack the Beaver. Cycling jersey is $69, and and it's a nun holding a mash paddle and she's behind a beaver with a mischievous grin. Is mischievous a word? Yeah. I think that's a word.
Mischievous, but mischievous, but also very excited.
It was just
I've done this before.
Yeah.
All right. Wow.
Oh, but the coolest part about Hickory Creek is that, you know, we're like, where else can we go around here? And they're like, yeah, you got to go to Trail's Edge. So Trail's Edge is in historic Frankfort. So, you know, we're like, cool, we're on to the next spot.
Yeah.
So we go to Trail's Edge, and historic Frankfort is just how it sounds, man. Apparently, you know, this strip of buildings have been around since 1855. This particular spot is like the first hotel in town. And, man, it's fantastic. It looks like you stumbled upon some sort of like winter lodge community, right?
What? All right.
And the place looks great, man. This is a fantastic scene, man.
I guess maybe people that want a quick little getaway for the night or the weekend.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. So the Hickory Creek stop wasn't all that bad because it led to the Trail's Edge stop,
okay,
which, you know, it wasn't on the radar at all. And then we kind of redeemed ourselves. Everything was like back to normal.
Okay.
You know, it was kind of easy, approachable, all IPA, all American IPA forward offerings, right?
Nice.
Maybe like six or so. And then they got like, you know, they got Bourbon County Vanilla on tap.
Oh, damn.
They got like, you know, a couple joints from Three Floyds on tap, you know. And apparently this used to be the chef came out and he's like, yo, this used to be a smokehouse. Used to be a barbecue joint. And then they changed ownership. And the new owner said, hey, you know, we work this menu and we're going to become a brewery now.
Okay.
Yeah. So that place was cool. So.
No, that sounds good. You threw up a picture on Instagram of that and it looks pretty nice too. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of like the first time I went to like New Glarus or something, right?
Yeah.
Like the city New Glarus. I'm like, man, this is the coolest little town ever, man.
Right. Look, it's like, why is this here? What is this? And this is pretty sweet. And yeah.
So yeah, man. Just made the rounds in the deep south burbs, man. So that was a lot of fun, man.
Nice.
Yeah. Had some offerings from Floyd's and Windmill and Hailstorm.
Windmill.
Yeah. Windmill's out in Dyer.
Okay.
Dyer, Indiana. Yeah. So they're all about the haze. They're actually like 5 minutes from Floyd's. They're like right down the street.
Okay. You're messing with those Indiana brews, can't stick in Chicago here.
Yeah, man. Windmill, they were on my radar because one of the memes, which is their hazy IPA series.
Memes or meads?
Memes. Meme. Like
mead?
Meme.
Meme. Like, you know, an like, internet meme?
Like an internet meme.
Oh, okay.
They have like, you know, they have a bunch of beers, you know, is inspired by memes.
Okay. And I was just like, you said meads earlier.
Oh, yeah. I said meads earlier. Like... Yeah. No, you're right. You fair ass. So then, but at Dark Lord Day, I had... one of the memes that was a collab with Microphone. It was like a meme with like either peach or apricot, whatever.
I'm confused by the meme thing because I know what memes are.
You know what memes are.
But how do you, you can't brew a meme.
You can't brew a meme. They have a whole series of meme beers, these folks at Windmill. Yeah. Did I take a picture?
I was like waiting for the meme punchline. No, there's no. You're like, oh, this meme beer that they brewed. I was like, what?
No, so like Meme de la Creme was the one that, not Tribes.
So they're just called Meme?
Yeah, it's like everyone's a different type of meme. Yeah. That's it. They're just called meme. They're memes. They're the meme series.
So confusing.
It's not confusing, man. But that's
are there like meme pictures on?
There's like there's not memes on them.
See?
Why do you have to make sense of this right now? I'm trying to. All right.
All right. Windmill with the memes. That are not memes, but are beers.
They're not memes. They are beers.
Okay.
Yeah. Delicious stuff.
But they're just called me. They're not like clever names.
You're gonna make me look this shit up, man.
I just kind of want to know, are the names like?
I don't know.
Clever meme names.
No, it's like memes and dreams. Okay. Is one of them. All right, so I'll give you a picture of them. One right, like
yeah.
I don't know why, but you've seen that. You know, you've seen that before, right? Like that font, and then those graphics. Right,
it's kind of like the success baby meme. Background, but not with that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little more sense seeing it. Okay. You can't have a meme without, like, it's hard to, like, not see a meme.
I'm like, I know this is an audio show, but I'm out of words. Here's a picture.
Okay. So it's got the success baby background, but it's got a bunny on it. So, yeah.
All
right.
So they all have different colors.
Okay. Yeah. A little more sense.
Okay.
Still. Confusing to talk about. Did you drink that meme? Did you drink that new meme, right?
I have Meme de la Creme.
All right.
Meme de la Creme, I really dug it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I made it up to the closest suburb of Chicago.
Yes.
Right next door to you, Evanston.
Right on.
Hit up Sketchbook over the weekend. They had a can release of their Hop Void number one. I believe it's off the top of my head. It's like Mosaic and Citrus. Hops, yeah. And then also they had their Imperial Stout with candy cap mushrooms in it, and they had a sixth of that going on.
Right on.
So and that was awesome. That was really good.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Sean Curry from the Sketchbook crew. I see him all the time at Merchandise Mart. Mm-hmm. Out of all places, yeah.
Yeah, he messaged me on Facebook. He's like, "Oh, we got this going on." And of course, I try to, of course, for the show, go somewhere. Over the weekend, I was like, well, all right, I'll hit this up as well. And so I went up there, picked up Sergio, and we rolled up there.
Right on.
I was driving, so we just got a little taster of their Imperial Stout. And, yeah, that was pretty nice.
Yeah.
But there was all in all, like, four of us there, so we pretty much drank their whole lineup between all of us. Like, oh, here, try this one again. I was like, yeah. And I love that. Is it their briny something? It's their oyster stout.
They have an oyster stout?
They have an oyster stout. They do a really good job with it. It says contains shellfish on it. So if you're allergic, can't do that. But that's one of my favorites from them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would want a 4-pack, but I like drinking it there.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Insufficient Clearance.
Yeah.
I haven't been in a while. I should go check them out and hit the rounds. I know Porch Drinking was just up in Evanston. Yeah, Evanston's you could spend a whole day in Evanston,
right?
And hit breweries the whole time.
We almost popped over to Peckish Pig, and there's a cidery right next door
on Howard, North Shore.
North Shore. We were gonna go in, we ended up going back to a friend's house and just drinking more Sketchbook there. So it kind of slowed us down from our Evanston tour.
If I'm not mistaken, well, yeah, you can get I like Sketchbook tall pack. Tall boy, 4-packs.
Yeah, so we did some of that. Great of Sean to message me and make it up there. And we have cans of that double haze that they got going on. We'll probably drink on an upcoming episode if I don't consume it all myself. but it was a good stop. And it was packed. It was busy.
Yeah.
It's always busy in there.
Always busy. I know they won an award from the city of Evanston for the architecture in their space, and apparently it was like an old like cab Depot or something, or a cabbie garage or something. So yeah, they used to come in from the back before they revamped the front.
Right, and that's in the, where the orange door is.
That's where the orange door came
in
from.
In the alley, yeah.
Yeah, and they have some serious ties to the Evanston Homebrew Club. I think like one of their guys, Teddy, like is the president or was the first president.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing good stuff up in Evanston, man.
Yeah. If I moved up there, that would probably be my brewery. I love Temperance, but Sketchbook just, they're doing a wider variety of things than Temperance. Like, Temperance's beers are super solid. The space is great. But Sketchbook is, like, it's always interesting. Mushroom cap beer, like, that was good.
Yeah. And then you tell me about the Oasis Stout. So you're making me want to go now.
Yeah. Head on up there. That was my only stop this past weekend. Neither one of us made it to Bridgeport Arts Center.
Oh, for the thing, the Lou Dog Events thing.
Right.
Oh, the Chicago Winter Ale Fest.
Right. We didn't. I saw pictures. It looked like a good time.
I thought about it, and that's a fantastic space to throw a party, man.
So we missed that.
It's like the community center for the condos up there. I want to say like Bridgeport. It's this was in Lacuna Lofts.
Yeah.
And then, like, Lacuna Lofts has a shared event space, and it was there.
Yeah. It's, like, downstairs, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of wanted to go.
First floor.
And then, you know.
Then you were out in Joliet.
And then I look up, and I'm at fucking Arrowhead. I'm at the Devil's Breakfast Day.
You're, like, done. And you're, like, oh, I got, like, an hour and a half drive back. What?
Man, we're going to ask this lady, where does she go drink? And we're just going to go there instead.
I don't know. That's some pretty good stops. I feel like, although we didn't, neither one of us visited Chicago breweries. We got out.
Yeah, Chicagoland. I think when you talk about city proper plus the burbs, that's what really gives us strength as like the place that has all the breweries.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, you're going to make your way to those other spots over the course of the year. So getting up on a weekend and intentionally going somewhere that's kind of out of the way is kind of cool. You know, you escape, occupy Chicago, go to a completely different scene, right?
Especially when it's cold out and you do have access to a car, you can go to those farther places because once it's warm, you're like, I just want to go for a walk, hop on my bike, go over here. So.
Yeah, like. Whatever we're doing, let's hurry up because we got to go to, if it's over 85, we're going to the beach.
Nice. So we were supposed, speaking of like far away burbs, we were supposed to have Josh on.
Yeah, man. You know, the
Kankakee Journal.
You know, I think Brad drives a little more than me. So he's like, yo, man, there's some serious winter ice storms on the roads. So we can't go. And so Josh couldn't make it up, but hopefully we'll have him again. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because the first beer I wanted was the Haze at Arrowhead, and it was a collab with Steam Hollow Brewing. And we're like, where the fuck is Steam Hollow? So it's in between Arrowhead and where Josh lives, down in Moments, Moments, Kankakee area. And they're a brand new brewery that just got online. So hopefully he'll tell us about it when he reschedules. But yeah, apparently they had like a chili cook-off last week, and then like it's really the newest Chicagoland brewery as far as we can tell.
Okay.
And their collab with Arrowhead sold out, so I don't know anything about it. But
yeah, we're gonna have to get him back or reschedule this because he was gonna go to Middlebrow. We may have tagged along. Or we like Corridor's not far. I'm sure grab food there. Middlebrow, make it a night kind of thing. Podcast and drink and eat.
I'm down with that. So yeah, so let's get him back on. We're doing Spiteful, and then we're doing Dark Side,
yeah.
And then let's get Josh back on.
Mm-hmm, sounds good. Cool. So then events coming up. We really messed up on this. We got nothing. Right? Is it our fault or is it their fault?
But you know, it's for a change. I mean, you know, we're hitting that downswing. You know, the Super Bowl just ended. You know, spring training isn't for a few more weeks. You know, we're all kind of recovering. But then after that, God help us all.
It's
right?
Valentine's Day coming up.
You know, I don't know who's throwing any killer Valentine's Day parties. But, yeah, I'm okay with this lull in the action. Oh, but it's Cider Summit week.
Okay.
Yeah. So Cider Summit starts Wednesday at the Hilton downtown. And, you know, it's a week-long conference. It's like a legit conference, you know, where it's like, you know, they're all business. But at the end of the conference on Saturday, they throw a huge party at Navy Pier. If you need an excuse to go to Navy Pier, I don't know why you do, but, you know, you go down there for Cider Summit. Yeah. Yeah.
And I know, I believe Porch Drinking, they hooked up with someone. They're having an event with some cider cocktails. I believe ciders and cocktails, although I like a beer cocktail, like ciders and cocktails just work so much better. They offer a little more than beer can do because it's a little lighter. It has more of that effervescentness to it.
Yeah.
So cider cocktails.
And if you listen to the Virtue Cider guys, they throw a Stone Fence party every year, and they'll tell you the Stone Fence was the original American cocktail, you know, some variant of cider and whiskey, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, cinnamon.
So get your cider on. So
maybe not cinnamon, but, you know.
I would say we drink cider next week, but we got Chris Jacobson on, so we're going to be drinking some sort of big stout that's put in barrels.
I haven't seen Chris in a while, man. This ought to be good. So our feature event this week is probably going to be the 7th annual Cider Summit Chicago. 150 ciders, cider cocktails, and apple spirits. Who forget about apple spirits? You know,
how are they different than cider? Those spirits.
The apple spirits.
Yeah.
Oh, because you know, like Apologue has one down in Thornton, Illinois. You know, they have an apple based spirit. When I think apple based spirit, I think brandy, because brandy is the distilled fruit. Like all brandies are distilled from like fruit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I believe that's like the brandy thing.
Okay.
So then now I'm thinking like Reinhold, right?
Because yeah.
they have a lot of fun. I think that's all they do is brandy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm not a brandy connoisseur. So.
Yeah, and they're right down the street from Goose, and we never go.
Yeah. Well, they're open like weird hours,
they
too.
They do have very
they're
strange
like
hours.
Third Wednesday of the – it's basically like your like street cleaning schedule. Like, we're the third Wednesday of the month – 3 weeks out of Columbus Day.
You look up and it kills your buzz that they're not open when you want to go. And you're like, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah. Oh, so Saturday, February 9th, Navy Pier. The first session's at noon. The last session's at 5. Should we go to this? I don't know what you got going on Saturday.
Saturday? Maybe, yeah.
Maybe we should go to this, yeah. Okay. I went 1 year, man, and you know, I'm a sucker for a big winter party. You know, like all that stay in the house shit gets old fast.
Okay.
I want to go out and party.
I'd be down. Take some pictures, drink some cider, see what's up.
Yeah. So this is in the Grand Ballroom at Navy Pier, man. So there's that.
Check that out. Cool. So that's our events. We always try to have some beer news on the show.
Beer news. And then what's the best thing you drank this week?
Oh, best thing is that Imperial Stout with mushroom caps from Temperance.
Okay. No. From Sketchbook.
Well, it's Sketchbook.
Yeah. See, 7%. Belgian triple lights from Illuminated.
Mr. Curry's going to be mad at me. Damn it, Brad. That beer was great. Although we did have to look and we're like, what are candy cap mushrooms?
Yeah, right.
But there's, you know, I don't know my mushroom. Like, I haven't had enough different varieties of mushrooms to be like, oh, yeah, those candy caps are like my go-to over this. But it was good. It had that, like, earthy kind of like foragey feel to the beer, and it added something to it.
Yeah, you know, shrooms are fun. You know, you get them fried, and they're big enough they can be almost like a you get the portobello joints, and it's like a substitute for meat in a meal.
Sometimes,
essentially,
yeah.
Right? They're huge, right?
If that's how you roll.
You know, if you're.
What about you? What was the best thing?
Man, I mean, you know, I'm gonna tell you something, man. An oldie but goodie, man. The good folks at Three Floyds. They had something called the Cheer Team Ale.
What?
It's
that's
like,
an oldie? But
it's a Cheer Team. No, the Crew. Is
oh,
the,
okay.
The crew.
I was like, I never heard of this beer.
No. Cheer Team is like one of their newer beers. It's like their fruity ale, you know, their fruity IPA. And, you know, what's funny is that, like, you know, we had a six-pack of, you know, some Anti-Hero recently. And we're like, man, Anti-Hero, this doesn't do it for me like the way it used to. Hmm. And then I had this Cheer Team Ale, and I was like, God damn it, this is how Anti-Hero used to be. You know, it's just like straightforward,
bold,
like spice and like fruit forward on the aroma with the hops, but not like fruity, like a cute ass, like milkshake fruity, just like fruity American IPA hop fruity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they got these, I don't know how many different cannon lines these boys got, but you know, these are like these stumpy little, like, I don't know, 14-ounce, like, almost like red stripe
bottles,
right? Huh. With the waterproof label and, like, some creepy, you know, 1950s comic book-looking label.
That's cool.
We're going to throw a picture up on IG.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a really cool label. But then also, it's just a 6.5% badass fresh IPA that reminds me of some of the beers. It reminds me of my first time having that style IPA.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good.
So
okay.
It was cool, man. So I would go with that.
I'll have to keep an eye out for that. Yeah. Awesome. All right. So beer news. Mm-hmm. So Chicago first, before we get into some of this syrup business. Hopcat. Yeah, Chicago location shut its doors.
Man, you know, some of my favorite experiences were at Hopcat, man, like the original in Grand Rapids.
Okay.
When we went on the Bourbon Trail a few years ago, you know, you hit the distilleries but you stay in Louisville at night, and there's a Hopcat in Louisville.
Okay.
You know, and it anchored a lot of the cool, every night was kind of like our go-to.
But that's still open.
It's still open. Yeah, but this Hopcat here somehow could not figure out how to get down and fucking stay open.
Did you ever go to it?
I mean, I may have been there once or twice.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think the only time I went, honestly, I went once because I had, we were interviewing the Colectivo coffee roaster who opened up like a block away.
Okay.
And we were pre-gaming at Hopcat.
Okay.
Other than that, I might have went one other time other than that. Yeah.
I went once for who does Victory at Sea?
Ballast Point.
Yeah. They had a event there with all the Victory of Sea beers.
Okay. Because, like, you know, Hopcat's one of these crews that's like, all right, we're open and we got like 130 beers.
Right.
Like a ridiculous amount of beer.
It's a lot of different beers. And I think that model works, but it doesn't work in Chicago.
Yeah.
There's too many places to drink. It's too easy to go to another place if they don't have what you want. And the food was not good at Hopcat. Like,
it wasn't, it didn't suck.
It didn't suck.
But this is Chicago. Food and drink are king and queen. Like, you can't just have food that's just solid.
Right, but it's bar food. Like, there's no way around it. It's just bar food. It's smothered fries kind of thing. Or it was crack fries, and they had to change it to, like, Cosmos fries or something because they got in trouble. Like, people got mad.
Crack is whack. That's what we in Houston used to say.
So it's just, like, it's that. Like, Southwest egg rolls. Like, this is all – it doesn't work in Chicago. It works great in Michigan. Yeah. I think it works great in the suburbs. It doesn't work when you have a lot of options.
I mean, it works if you're part of a scene, right? Like, if you're part of a scene where there's everyone concentrated on doing a certain thing, and then people come to that part of town, and they do all the things within this three blocks.
Right.
It works if you're doing that. You can, you know, then everything we just said, throw it out the window. Mm-hmm.
Or if you are that only spot in the town, you're like, we're going to Hopcat tonight. We're going to spend all night there. Most people, when they go out in Chicago, don't stay at one place.
Man, and I tell you, it sucks because, like, I actually, like, thought aesthetically, I thought the place was kind of cool. You know, it kind of had this old kind of speakeasy kind of vibe. You know, I saw, like, some like, you know, Miles Davis, like, hand-drawn art on the walls. You know, like, I thought it felt good. It looked good to be there.
It did feel warm, but it also felt dive bar. Too, because it had that old kind of, it was like a 70s movie theme or whatever their thing was. So, it sucks that they closed. I don't think no one's gonna miss them because they closed, right? And I've never been to the original. Like, I always hear good things. So.
Yeah, and I want to say the original is now like a brewery.
Okay,
I think that, you know, if you're in the town that's got the most breweries, you know, if Hopcat kind of said, hey, you know, also we're brewing our own beer. Then maybe that works, but you know what? To be fair, man, the second version, the second location for Kuma's, which was just like a block or two north of there, also closed early. You know, Lincoln Park isn't really like, you know, it's not really a destination. It's not a destination for food and drink.
There's like a street of food places, but it's not a destination as you live there.
Yeah,
it's expensive over there.
Yeah.
That space was giant.
It's not right. Yeah. I like the some of the quotes in the Tribune article where it's like, you know, this is our biggest city, but we picked the wrong neighborhood. And then, you know, I lived here 10 years prior, so everyone on my crew looked at me to guide us, and then I picked this location, and then it didn't work out.
Right. Like, that's 10 years ago. That was the spot. Like, you would hang out there. What, Gramophone Records was right over there. Like, yeah. Untitled was, like, so there were spots. Like, you went to that area. Yeah. Now, they should have probably opened in the West Loop over where Ballast Point and Little Goat and everyone is.
Wicker Park.
Yeah, and they might have done a little better. Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. I think 130 taps is a lot to ask, you know.
But in a town where if the Chicago beer's not on, I don't know what I'm going to, like.
Yeah, and did you dive? I don't know if you really, they don't really dive into, like, I don't think they dove into, like, Chicago-centric, like, nights or even, like, the themes with the tap list necessarily.
Right. Yeah. And they were, you know, they're going after whatever the distributor has, so they don't have, like, cool beers. That's just not. But
at the end of the day, like, I don't know if their approach was wrong, right? I just think, like, that strip between what we're gonna say, like, Fullerton and Diversey on Clark, that's just a tough strip, man. Yeah. You know, that's a tough strip to pull this off on. You know, above all, I think I've been to other copycats and they're cool, but like you said, you know, there wasn't a town where that, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of other things competing with you.
Right. Yeah. You know,
so
it's hard to say that's my destination for the night, right?
Yeah, we're gonna go hang out at Hopcat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. Like, I went to a place called Fat Rosie's. It's like a couple doors down. This is a tequila bar. It's like a Mexican restaurant. It's two doors down from that Trails Edge brewery out in Frankfurt.
Okay.
And I'm like, dude, this place is great. And I'm like, well, what are the other Fat Rosie locations? Fat Rosie, other location in Frankfurt was Naperville.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
See?
So if you're a Hopcat, I think that's your play.
They should have opened in Naperville.
You got to set up shop in fucking Schaumburg. And all the IKEA fuckers can come party with you because you're the thing, right? And I think that was the Hopcat is dope, but I think they took the L because it was there. And it wasn't in one of these other locations where, like, I'm at Fat Rose's. I'm like, God damn, I don't even care that I'm in Frankfurt. Like, I'm partying. I feel great.
Yeah.
Because I'm at a quality thing where there are no other things.
Right. So if you went to a Chicago place, you're like, well, what else is around here? You're always like, is there something better I should go to?
It's like, you know,
you're always chasing, right?
This place is cool, but I'd rather be at the old Orbit Room.
Yeah.
I'd rather be at, like, Demon's Tap, honestly.
Sure.
Than be at fucking, you know, the Hopcat.
Yeah. All right, so.
But, RIP Hopcat, man. At least they tried.
Yeah.
They could eat. Yeah.
And now I can say I've been to a Hopcat. Nice. What else we got in the news?
Anheuser-Busch is in the news. If you want to talk about them, they had the big sports ball event this weekend.
Sure.
Yeah.
So they put out their ads were dissing everyone, right?
I got questions about
Bud Light and their Stella commercial. So that's and they had a seltzer ad too. The hard seltzer that AB owns.
Huh.
They renamed, like, there was a hard seltzer ad that kind of flew under the radar, but that was AB.
Mm-hmm.
The Stella ad had the dude.
The dude and Sarah Jessica Parker.
And
the most interesting man in the world.
Right. So
low-key, I like that commercial, man.
That was a good commercial, but instead of drinking Dos Equis, which is a Heineken brand, he was drinking an AB brand. And so was everyone else. So they dissed everyone else there.
Yeah.
So that diss, and I think that ad, for how good it was, flew under the radar. Like, it was just kind of, people were like, that was good. It was just like, that was good.
I had an apartment once, and I didn't have cable for a while, so the only thing I had on DVD was Finding Nemo and Sex and the City Season 5. So when I saw...
I've never seen any Sex. I know.
When I saw Sarah Jessica, I was like, man, I'm going to watch this ad. It's cool to me. I fuck with Sarah Jessica Parker. So.
But the bigger story is the corn syrup AB.
Yeah, man.
Bud Light. Sorry, Bud Light.
So they come out like guns blazing, talking about, you know, hey, you know. And they're doing their medieval theme, dilly dilly, you know.
But really just to, like, tap into that Game of Thrones.
Yeah, the Game of Thrones.
People are like, oh, medieval's cool. I'm going to like Bud Light because they're medieval.
So they're rolling around delivering this corn syrup to someone else because it's not theirs, right?
Right.
And then in the scene, they're clapping at everybody saying, oh, you know, well, you know, these guys are making beer with corn syrup and we don't.
Right. So there's been so much just chatter about this. I think the biggest thing is they confuse the hell out of people that, wait, what's corn syrup and what's high fructose corn syrup? They are different. Corn syrup is not high fructose corn syrup.
I guess that's true.
High fructose corn syrup is very bad for you. Corn syrup is not good for you, but it's not as bad as high fructose corn syrup.
I think they even got like the corn. I didn't even know the Corn Association of America had a Twitter account before this.
We only grow soybeans and corn here. That's our main things.
Yeah. So, you know, they pissed the corn people off, but then also Miller Lite's kind of saying, you know, your beer's called Bud Light, but it's got almost 20 more calories in it than Miller Lite does. So they're really just, they're just not making friends. But that's what, they're an ad company at the end. They happen to make beer, but they're a marketing company at their core, these AB folks.
I guess, but they could do what they've done in the past. And what, there was even a Budweiser commercial that played that no one paid attention to, that often just do like, hey, we're having fun, and like the feel-good moments. Like, why attack everyone? Like, you're not going to win here because you're only, you have one other person that is selling your beer. You can only take market share from them. This doesn't, a Miller Lite drinker is not going to drink Bud Light because you're commercial. A Bud Light drinker is not going to drink Miller Lite because you're commercial. Like, they're already like, I just drink this.
Yeah. A couple things, man. I remember, like, I want to say, like, there was going to be a hostile takeover of one or the other. I think Bud was, like, buying the rights to sell Miller at one point or something.
They were. It was 2016. They couldn't do it in the U.S.
Yeah.
But they just wanted all the stuff for Africa.
Okay.
That SB had.
SAB Miller. All right. So, like, the SAB part, essentially, it sounds like.
Right.
Yeah. So there's that. And then there's also, like, you know, on the latest packaging for like Goose IPA, there's something that says, you know, in the background of the 12 pack, it says IPAs are, this isn't the IPA you talk about. This is the IPA you drink. You know, it kind of suggests.
We're not the, yeah. I forget what
it's kind of suggesting, like, hey, you know, all you schmucks that, you know, like talk about beer over, you know, you discuss beer overtly, you know, shut the fuck up and just this is beer for drinking kind of thing. Almost a slant at people who discuss beer.
Right.
Right.
Like not fuss to be fussed over. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not to be fussed over. And then, but also like I saw this thing and it was like, it was an ad from like almost 100 years ago. Where Anheuser-Busch is kind of saying the same thing about, hey, how their brewers are fine beer exclusively. And this is an ad from like 1933 where it's like, you know, the barley malt is sparkling and spunky and it's absolutely free of corn or corn preparation. So this is kind of like history.
Oh, really?
History repeating itself. Like the whole, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I know I said earlier that they happen to be a marketing company. They happen to be a beer company, but they're really a marketing company. I mean, they're the largest brewery on the planet, right? They're the largest brewer collectively on the planet.
Yeah.
But they hang their hat so much on marketing, you know? So even this is just like something they pulled out of their vault. This is basically a vintage beer ad. This is an updated version of their vintage beer ad.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. I didn't realize that. That's interesting.
And then it gives everyone a chance to talk about it. You know, like we'll talk about Goose in most cases, but we'll never talk about AB like this show.
Sure, yeah.
So you know they're doing their job.
I guess, but it's still Bud Light or Budweiser is the only sponsor of the Super Bowl and has been for decades.
Yeah, and even in baseball, they're saying, hey, you know. You can pop champagne if you win the World Series or if you win a division series, but if you pop a beer, it has to be Budweiser.
Right.
Like their marketing is where, like marketing is where they throw all their efforts.
So, using your commercial time to like diss on someone else, which they do constantly. They did with that craft. Beer ad a few years ago.
Yeah, they dug a little deeper. They talked about like, you know, we'll never make it was a PJ.
It's like, why not try to convince some of the people, the craft beer people even, that hey, our beer is just like you just want to like go back to like, hey, we're just hanging out and having a good time, like versus like, hey, this isn't good for you. I don't know. Like think about it that way. Like why hate on it versus
no.
That's my take.
Yeah, that's no fun. I guess to them, I guess that's no fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if I'm the largest brewer in the world, I would be doing more things like that.
Right.
Right.
And yeah. if you're worried about your market share, throw one of those ads to Goose Island, who their beer is more expensive. If you could get 1% of your Bud Light drinkers to drink Goose Island, you're already making money here. Like, even if they're like, buy it once and they go back, they're paying a premium.
We've talked about it on this show. I mean, even though, you know, it's not something that we ever drink, you know, there's something to be said about the skill required to make these beers the same way in different locations, sure, all yeah. across the world. You know, maybe focus on that. Maybe focus on integrity versus like making it all feel so fucking gimmicky all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, at least sprinkle it with a little bit of, hey, like there's history and tradition in what we do, you know, instead of like, but yeah, I just assume that that's no fun for them, or the research shows that that's a stupid idea for them.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, but this dovetails right into the other piece of news, like Rate Beer. We talked about Rate Beer last week and how they had this top 100 brewers in the world, right? And then, it's either XV Ventures or ZV Ventures. Anyway, it's a venture company that AB owned 50% of Rate Beer. And then last week it was announced that they bought the other 50% of Rate Beer.
Right.
So Rate Beer is wholly owned by an AB subsidiary at this point.
Right, yeah. So... a list of
ZX Ventures,
a list of the top beers coming from Rate Beer. You probably shouldn't put a lot of weight behind that.
Well, you know, I think Goose was like 55 and Half Acre was 78, and we're like, I guess.
Yeah.
Not really.
Sure.
But you know, but yeah. So that was the other bit of news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we always like to add a little bit of Goose Island rumors, as we do. 3-1-2 Day is coming up.
It is. 3-1-2 Day.
I think you may see some variants of 3-1-2 this year.
Is that in our Goose Island rumors section here?
Radler style, right? We've seen 3-1-2 Radler before, right? Mm-hmm. There was and they had that Radler version that basically ruined the tap lines at the growler fills at the brew pub right at Fulton, man. Like, because it was just like flavoring them too much. Like, same thing they had with the curry beer they did, the Fulton and Wood one.
Yeah.
Where it was just messing up lines.
Oh, the Devon Street one.
Yeah.
I remember this. Yeah.
It was just like, you had to replace lines at bars.
It's tough.
So, yeah. Flavors of 3-1-2. You know, watermelon with electrolytes,
like Gatorade.
Gatorade 3-1-2.
You know, Brad puts on his Nostradamus hat, because I remember, you know, like a month or two ago, we talked about the little Cornita bottles, and it was like, man, you know, somebody should do that locally. Like Off Color should do that. Boom, Off Color.
Yeah.
It. Now a couple weeks ago, we talked about, you know, mixed 4-pack. Somebody had a mixed 4-pack, and we're like, you know, 3-1-2 should be in a mixed 4-pack just to kickstart interest,
right.
And then boom. Rumors are that
I saw Mambacu was doing like a ramen thing, and they used Goose Island beer. Maybe it'll be like a miso 3-1-2.
Oh man, that's hardcore.
Know, let's tap into that rice game some more. You know.
Yeah, rice is an adjunct, just like corn syrup's an adjunct. You know, and the king of beers is all about Beechwood Asian rice.
Neither are good for you. We don't grow rice in the United States, right?
Is that a thing? I don't know.
I don't. As far as I know, no one's growing rice.
Man.
Maybe in the South, but yeah.
So,
all right.
3-1-2 Day is on March 12th. It'll be, the launch party will be at what? Lincoln Hall.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. So, Twin Peaks, Japanese breakfast, and Post Animals. Oh, three locations. Lincoln Hall, Talia Hall, and Empty Bottle. So that's cool. They'll have like three shows at once.
Yeah.
Like a
So that'd be neat. Cool. Well, let's get out of here. We've run our limit for everyone. Nick and Brad rambles about beer.
Motherfuckers talk about Goose for 20 minutes.
Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass. Chicago Beer Pass on everything, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and the website, ChicagoBeerPass.com. Spitefulpod@gmail.com. Next episode should be with Spiteful, Chris Jacobson. We'll get Josh from Kankakee Journal back out here, and we'll be back soon. Take care.
Cheers.